What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Guess what? We're reacting to baseball loss. What a shocker. As I talked about on the morning show, the two teams haven't won on the same night outside of the game the other day since the 27th of July. So since the July 27th, there has been two nights where both the Yankees and Mets have won. And last night, thankfully, the Yankees couldn't lose because they were off. But the New York Mets continue to find ways to lose. I know it's cliche. I know we all say it. But that's the bottom line. The bottom line is last night, it wasn't the rotation that couldn't get out of the fourth inning. Right? The offense could have done more and had chances in the eighth and ninth, but it really wasn't even the offense. Yeah, you know, three runs isn't that much, but like they came out, they took the lead, it was blown, they came back and took it again, and Ryan Helsley just can't pitch for the New York Mets. He was brutal in this game. They blow one that is just, they allowed the Atlanta Braves to walk into their building, take two of three, kill any momentum they might have been able to build off the Pete Alonso night, the home run, the big offense, coming back from a blown game by Holmes, who's been awful. They've blown leads of 5-0, 5-1, 6-0, and you're desperate. And what makes last night tough for the New York Mets is that they were desperate for a decent start, desperate to see their ace. And that's what he's supposed to be, right? You wish they had better to call an ace. They don't. Kodai Senga is their most talented, most tried and true, most successful over the last 3 years starting pitcher. He's their most talented. He gets the most swings and misses. He's the guy. And you're dying for him to finally step up since coming back from the hamstring injury. Dying for him, someone, to give you a good starting performance. And although it's not perfection, he gives you 5 2/3. He ends up giving up two runs when Rodgers comes in and gives up a little, you know, humpback line drive for a base hit that scores the tying run at two. But 5 2/3, two runs, that's the kind of starting performance you needed. Then you're looking for clutch hits, and immediately Lindor gets on, steals a base. Soto gets on, you know, steals a base. You get a sacrifice fly. Then you get the base hit from Pete Alonso with two outs to give them the lead. The bullpen's all lined up. Helsley, who they traded for, the closer from St. Louis, comes in with his 100-mile-an-hour fastball and gets lit up again. They just continue to find ways to lose. They have now lost 13 of their last 15 games. It's amazing. You got what typically has let them down the last handful of, you know, last month, right? It's been the offense not coming through in clutch moments, and Pete Alonso gives you the hit. It's the rotation not giving you enough innings, and although 5 2/3 isn't anything to write home about, it's far better than what they've been giving you. You get those answers, you take a lead against the lousy Braves, and you allow them to get back into that game, and Helsley kills you. And then the offense does nothing after that, including Juan Soto, who continues on a nightly basis, as great as he is. These two games, this series against Atlanta, is the perfect microcosm of what he's been for the Mets. You look at the series, he gets on base six times. Six times in the series. He hits a home run, drives in a couple, scores, steals a base to get into scoring position with two outs so Pete Alonso can drive him in to take the lead. Like, he makes a mistake, and he actually dekes the runner at second on a double off the wall and then throws directly to second base instead of the cutoff man, which I have no idea why he did. Why go through the trouble of trying to deke him if you're not going to at least hit the cutoff man and give yourself a chance to make the play at first base? There's no chance Albies isn't getting the second on a ball off the wall. But ultimately, that's a pseudo nice defensive play. You wish he figured it out, but he steals bases. He gets on base. He hits home runs. Like, he had a good series. But there are two key at-bats in these two last two games where he had a chance to have a moment. He had a chance down 3-9-6 with two runners on to come through and get the Mets back into that game the other night. He doesn't. Ozuna hits the home run to make it 5, and that's it. Last night, 8th inning after blowing the lead, runner on. Lindor, who hit a home run in the game, is starting to break out of his funk, as well as Nimmo is starting to break out of his slump. Pete Alonso was good in this series. You have an opportunity in a big spot. One out, one on, to come through in the 8th after blowing it, and he strikes out on 3 pitches. I mean, it's just been, it's been the same old same from this guy, man. He's a good, solid player. He's a great player. I shouldn't even say that. This year he's been a, you know, this is the floor of Juan Soto. And that is pretty freaking spectacular to say. But that doesn't change the fact of what he's been in the biggest moments. And the fact of the matter is, this team, much like their New York counterpart, the New York Yankees, it's eerie how similar they are. When you take in the good start to the year, when you take into account that they started to flounder right at June 13th, when you take into account they both had two, in my opinion and most opinions, two really good, impactful trade deadlines that haven't really worked. And the guys that Mullins has done nothing, Helsley continues to blow games, Rogers has been okay, but he's been giving up runs on soft contact. You turn to the Yankees, all their right-handed bats for the bench get hurt. Doval has blown games. Bird is in the minors. And even Ryan McMahon got off to a really good start, but he's cooled off. Like, good, positive impact to try and help this team down the stretch fail. And then you look at the idea that they just don't know how to win. And it's frustrating for the New York Mets, who last year felt like they didn't know how to lose after falling behind 11 games under 500. From that moment where, you know, Lopez throws the glove into the stands, they have the team meeting, Lindor gets put in the leadoff spot, they take off. And they pitch better than anybody, they find ways to win, they find ways to, you know, beat Milwaukee when they're down to their last two outs with Pete Alonso's home run off of Devin Williams. They find ways to beat the Phillies in the NLDS. They couldn't find a way to beat the Dodgers, but it's just like, this team is night and day from what it was last year. The scrappy bunch that found ways to win. Mendoza, who led them. Now every Met fan is, you know, practically screaming for his job. He's saying the same stuff Aaron Boone says after the post game about how they're better than this and eventually it'll turn around and I have full confidence. They're calling up a young pitcher in McLain on Saturday to not only just make his major league debut, but to save the starting rotation. They've lost 13 of their last 15 games. And now the other thing, and this is the most glaring, dangerous, and surprising that they have in common, the Yankees and the Mets, is they are both only a half a game up out of being out of their respective playoff race. How is that possible? How is it possible? Neither of these teams know how to win. And last night it was on full display for the New York Mets. They allowed a dead Atlanta Braves team playing for absolutely nothing without Acuña just having one of their worst seasons ever when you take into expectations. And they walked into the building, came back from being down 5-0, or 5-1 rather, and then still found a way to lose. But they come back in that game, they fight to the end. They lose that game, the first game of the series. Then they're down 6-0. The Mets jump out to a 6-0 lead with Cookie Carrasco pitching for Atlanta and Peterson pitching for them. And Atlanta finds a way to fight back, have a 9-run inning and beat them. And then tonight they get to the bullpen. Just a team that hasn't beat anybody all year walks into Citi Field and finds a way to take 2 out of 3 in the most heartbreaking fashion you could possibly imagine. And now they'll welcome in Seattle, who's coming off a couple losses against Baltimore. But playing overall good baseball with a good starting pitching staff and a lineup that has some thump in it. I mean, this thing has to turn around quickly. They're a half a game up on the Reds. And it feels like this team's not going to make it to the end. It just feels like it. I don't know what's going to change. I don't know if it's the kids coming up. I don't know what is going to change this team. But I said it about the Yankees on Saturday when they damn near blew a game against the Astros. They had no business losing. They don't know how to win. It's either going to be a bad pitch, a bad at bat, a bad mistake in the field. Something is going to jump up and bite them. And last night it was Helsley. What will it be tomorrow? 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up? The Mets are 19-33 since early June. So if they go in the last 40 games, if they go 10 or 15 games, is there going to be a change or is it just going to leave
I wouldn't expect a change. I mean, what kind of change are you looking for? And they're not changing Stearns. You could forget that.
No, I'm not talking about Stearns. Look, it's really bad. There's like no life. They're playing dead. The manager's saying the same thing over and over. I mean, if I'm Steve Cohen, as much as I'd rather not, you got to make a change sometimes. You might spark them and, you just can't just...
They're not going to fire him mid-season. That's gone. They're not going to fire him now. Not going to fire him in August.
All right.
So I just don't think so. Season. Well, they also could, turn it around. He's the same manager that dug them out of the 11-game under 500 hole they were in. Like, he's that same manager. I know we want to blame the manager, and I can sense the Met fan making that turn. He was Boone's bench coach. He's saying the same things that Boone said in the post game. Like, I can sense it now. He's also the same manager that pulled them out of an 11-game under 500 start last year, and everybody was praising. Like, Mendoza's made some bad decisions. Not pinch running for Marte made absolutely no sense. Allowing Clay Holmes to pitch to Olsen made no sense. But, like, it's hard to just throw it at his feet. Like, again, what do you want to hear from your manager when he's 2-13? Like, what do you want to hear from him? You want to see him throw things? You want to see him, like, scream and say, we suck? Like, what do you want a manager who's lost 13 of the last 15 games to say? And I don't know what to do with this team. I mean, what did he do last night? He went to his club. Could you have gone? I'm sure I didn't hear all of Evan's. I heard a little bit of Evan's Rico, but I'm sure Evan was open to bringing in Diaz for two. He always is. Could you have gone to Diaz there? I suppose. But you brought in this guy for this exact purpose. They're not going to fire him now. I doubt even if they miss the playoffs, they fire him in the offseason. Like, they just brought this dude in. They love Stearns. Stearns loves him. It's a working relationship. He also brought you out of the fire last year. Like, I don't see it. I think the Yankees are much more obvious for a change than they are. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, just like Big Zoo, do me a favor. When you go to Italy and you're around the locals, don't force that fake Italian accent. It's going to be embarrassing. You were talking about lying to your children. I have a 4 and a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't have the money like you have to go to Disney World, every year. So they think Adventureland in Farmingdale is Disney World until they get old enough. So I don't know if that's wrong.
You told them that's Disney World? No, that's fine. I think that's a harmless white lie.
Okay. I don't know where the lying is okay.
It's a tough thing.
And that's got to be Disney World. I don't have like $5 or $10,000 every year, Chris,
Okay.
And,
I got you. Thank you. I got you.
Chris, I can't let you get away with this. You're on a New York radio station.
Yes.
And Zoo agreed with me. First of all, Fleegs gave up on the Jets. He won't root for them anymore until they get rid of the
owner. Can you just tell me what you think about one thing ever? Can you just tell me what you think? Stop worrying about me getting away with things or Fleegs or how much money I have for summer vacations. Just tell me what you think about anything.
You're wrong. about Aaron Rodgers praising him on a New York radio show.
I don't really give a damn what you think. Like, honestly, I don't care what you think about my opinion on a New York sports radio show. When you get into New York management in sports radio, then you can tell me what you think. All right? My goodness. Just tell me what you think once. Just once. Give me an opinion you have other than you don't like my opinion. Like, just once. Once. Man, oh man, you call up with the same stuff every time. You're just trying to get me. It's getting old, bro. Like, I understand the dynamic. It's fun sometimes. I even let you go on with the whole money point. Great. If you think I'm filthy rich, go ahead and think it. But, like, just call up with your opinion once. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Not the fact that I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, who did play here and is relevant, and football, no matter who, what city we're talking about, is always relevant on this station. My God. I can wax poetic about whoever the hell I want to wax poetic about. Who do you want to wax poetic about? Do you, besides Daniel Jones, like, do you have any opinions ever? Like, ever about anything? Same thing. You and Eddie and Rockland, you just call up and you're looking to get me. You have no interest in actually talking sports. None. All you want to do is find out why I said the things I said. What do you think? That's part. I understand that I'm the host and it's about me and I open myself up to it because I talk about me a lot. I feel like you have to in this thing. It's a family here. But, like, just once, you call up and tell me, like, an opinion that you have about something. And why the hell would I do a fake Italian accent? Who even suggests that I would? I'm not going to go to Italy and put on a fake Italian accent.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
My goodness. Frankie in the Bronx. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? Disappointing Mets fan. And let me tell you something. As much as I think Mendoza has done a great job since the time he's been there, he has to blame. I think he lost the team. I think the players are not responding to him. Whatever philosophy he's using is not working. And, you know, he has a lot of blame too, but also Stern. Stern assembled this team. You know, we have the richest owner in baseball, and he should have addressed the pitching staff in the offseason. But they think they could make miracles out of all these low-level pitchers with the pitching lab because they worked last season. And, you know, it's a shame. And, yes, if they don't make the playoffs, Mendoza should be fired. It's unacceptable in the New York market. I'm so glad they're not making a playoff. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, Frankie, I don't blame you for being disgusted. I'm disgusted as a Yankee fan. I think every Met fan is disgusted. It's been a disgusting end of June, July, and August. There's no other way around it. It's absolutely disgusting. You're right. It's unacceptable. But, like, you want to hold the manager accountable for it? Okay. I don't know what changes. I thought he did a good job last year. You want to fire him? All right. Who are you going to bring in? And I don't disagree with you with Stearns. Now, for the first month and a half, 2 months of the season, he was shutting me up. I said the same thing heading into the offseason. Heading into the season in the offseason. I was saying the same thing. Go out and get a starting pitcher. Go get a starting pitcher. Go spend some money. And a lot of people, you know, responded to me with, well, this was just, it's a Band-Aid until the young kids can come up. Okay. Like, what are the odds that all three of these kids, like, you're going to build an entire rotation from in the minor league system? Now, I've been adamant about the idea that come the trade deadline or making moves, you can't trade pitching prospects if you're going to handle buying rotation the way they do. If you're going to rely on Griffin Cannings and Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas's and even, you know, Sean Manaea's, like if you're going to rely on that being the upper echelon of what you're willing to pay for, then you can't trade away starting pitching prospects because you need those starting pitching prospects to come up and fill your rotation. But do you think all three are going to be great? You think you got three aces on your hand? Good luck. We've seen that before with the Mets and the Yankees. Like you want to hope one of them really turns into a great starter. But like, I agree. You're going to have to put some money into it at some point. But having said that, if they did Corbin Burns, we'd all be kicking him and killing him for buying on a pitcher who just had Tommy John surgery. So, like, I don't know. But you need some level of talent. Right now, the Mets are desperate for a lot of things with the way they're playing. But clearly, the most important thing that they would benefit the most from is a top of the rotation starter, an ace. That would benefit them more than anything else. Just that guy that you know every fifth day is going to go out there and pitch extremely well and give you a great opportunity to go win a baseball game. They don't have that. They don't have that. And you could, you know, Griffin Cannon got hurt. So it's a tough injury for them because he was pitching so well, but it's impossible, not unlikely, damn near impossible to continue to build the rotation the way they want to build it and have it sustainable forever. Like, at some point, you have all this money. At some point, you got to be willing to take the risk. And we'll see when and if they do. And we'll see if the calling up the young kids help. Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up? What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, Brett, I mean, like, call up and saying, like, oh, because Mike Freeman gave up being the Jeff fan. Like, what does he care? What does he care what Mike Freeman gave up being the Jeff fan? But that's his choice. This has nothing to do with you, Brett. So I don't know what he's talking about complaining for. So it's just ridiculous.
That's what he does. I mean, he's got to get on. He's got to get on us.
Brett being Brett, he's argue with you about the Yankees. They're talking about saying, like, oh, Aaron Judge don't perform in the postseason. Oh, he's always struggling in the postseason. Like,
Let's not make it about Brett, though. That's what he wants. That's why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah. He's trying to get in your head or something like that. So, you know.
Yeah, but. No, I get you. And thank you for the call, Jarvis. He is. That's what his shtick is. And sometimes I play into it like I did today and yelled at him. And sometimes I just ignore him. It depends on how I feel. I felt like yelling at him today because I'm just tired of him. Like, if he would have given me the shtick, that's fine. But then just, like, he gave me the don't do the fake Italian voice like I would ever. Then he made the money issue, which was dumb and stupid, but he wanted to do it. Fine. I even let that happen. A lot of people just hung up on him then. But then he goes for number three with Fleegs. Then he goes for number four with, like, what I'm talking about instead of just having his own opinion. I still need, like, the whole point of the call is to discuss things, not to discuss what I've already discussed. And how I discuss it and who I discuss it to. Call up with your own crap. And then I'll gladly shoot you down and call you a moron like you are with the Daniel Jones situation, Brett. Yet to declare, the dude's still trying to declare victory on Daniel Jones. It's, you know, the next time we talk Daniel Jones, I bet you the first game Daniel Jones wins as a starting quarterback for the Colts, if that happens, and I think it will at some point, if not right away, like, the first game he wins, the first, you know, time he has a good game, he's going to call me up and ask me when I'm ready to declare that I've lost the Daniel Jones argument. I'm waiting for it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Back with your calls next. So remember when they used to sell the DVD box set of all those Dean Martin roasts? Those are the best. I haven't seen one of those in forever. Don Rickles. Frank Sinatra, obviously. Billy Crystal did an impression of Muhammad Ali once on them. It was good. Those roasts were good. You never actually pulled the trigger and bought it, but same thing with the one I did pull a trigger on and buy when I was, or my dad did, I guess, when I was a kid. Remember the Dick Clark, like, box set of, like, the 1950s and 60s music box set collection? I think it was like 1950. It was like early rock and roll. It was like 1955 to 1963. I think that's what it was. And each year had its own like 8 or 9 song list. It started. The first one was "Rock Around the Clock," which is generally considered the first rock and roll song type. But those infomercials were classic. But 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, talking a lot of miserable baseball. We did mix in the football, as obviously this weekend we get Giants and Jets preseason game. We also started our new live chat and video on YouTube. So you can go to the WFAN YouTube page. You can watch me and Keith in the overnight and nights and overnights. Watch the show and comment. Still got 110 people holding on strong. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's fairly good for the first night at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely pretty good.
People are hanging in. The chat's been fun.
Chat's been incredible.
There's a couple of Bretts in Long Island out there looking to make fun of me, but that's okay. I'm used to it. But for the most part, everyone seems to be having a good time. So
it's been great conversation.
It has been.
Chat.
It's been fun. I'll bring my laptop. I'll get more involved, and I gotta get the login to join the chat. And it's a one and done for me for at least 2 weeks. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks, and we'll be doing it. But every night, you can check Keith and myself live on YouTube. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Don in Floral Park. What's up, Don?
Hey, Chris, I think you're terrific, man.
Oh, thanks.
I've just started listening to you, and you're dynamite, man. I dig when you sing. You're just great. So
I appreciate
can't believe
it.
You deal with all these schmagaggies. I tell you, you're funny, man.
Listen, I try to be. I try to inject a little bit of humor into it.
You're hilarious, bro. You're a pro. You're really great. I just want to say, back in 1986, after the Mets won.
Yep.
They let Ray Knight go because he didn't want to pay him $500,000. I think that was Frank Cashin didn't want to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went downhill. I feel the same way about Iglesias. They let Iglesias go, and they don't have that spark.
Yeah, we talked about it in the offseason. He's happened to be having a miserable season in San Diego. But you don't know how that would have went with the Mets, but he is having a dreadful year with them. Yeah, listen, I don't know, and I appreciate the call, Don, and all the compliments. I don't know if you can put it just on that. Teams are different. You can't have OMG be the theme of that team again. Like, there is no catching. You can't catch lightning in a bottle, like, twice. Like, it's just, like, you can't recreate, OMG, and you can't recreate what they were able to go through last year and all the different things, the grimace and the, playoff pumpkin and whatever else, the rally pimp or whatever else that was gone last year. Last year was its own unique year, and I would have been against having the OMG sign and all that stuff. I would have been against it. Now, him coming back, that would have been fine, I suppose. I wasn't against necessarily bringing the player back, but maybe he brought a spark, but it's on every individual team to find one. You can't just throw it at the feet of they should have brought back Candelita. Like, that can't be it. This team has got to find its own self, and it hasn't been able to. It just hasn't been able to. And I don't know if the dynamic of Juan Soto has affected the room. That's a possibility. But there's something just missing with this team. And mainly, I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, I wish I could put it in a less cliched way. They don't know how to win. There are teams, and unfortunately it feels like both of our teams, where you can sense it throughout the building, throughout the fan base, throughout the team. They're going to find a way to lose. Something's going to happen. Now, they have played some poor baseball as well, not to the same level of, kicking it around the way the Yankees have defensively, but we have seen key errors, whether it's, Beatty throwing the bunt away or, balls that should have been caught in Milwaukee by Mauricio. And we've seen different issues. There's no doubt about it. We've seen bad fielding. We've seen poor at-bats. We've seen an offense that scores early, unable to tack on, which is important in winning games. We've seen bullpens blow it. We've seen having to go to the bullpen in the third and fourth inning on a regular basis. Like, we have seen every which way you can lose. Being thrown out at the plate, twice, like, it's just whatever needs to happen for the Mets to lose, it's going to happen, and you can sense it coming. They've blown big leads. They haven't been able to hold on to it. Like, it's just one way or another, they're going to find a way to lose. And the Juan Soto conversation's another conversation right now where he is just And I feel like his inability to come through impacts the team. Like, they can't go get that ace. I've talked about what they need the most, the ace. They can't go get that player. He's not there. Unless, of course, McLean or Sproat or Tong come up and become that, which would be fantastic. But who could expect that? They're not going to get the ace they need. What you're waiting for is that big moment. Like, what they need more than anything is to be down two runs in the eighth or ninth and have Juan Soto hit a three-run home run. They need that in the worst way. Like, that will, I can't think of another way to spark this team. That's what they're in desperate need of. You want to look for something to build on. You want to look for a moment that could possibly change things. You're looking for a momentum turner. For me, that would be it. Be down a couple of runs in the eighth or ninth and have Juan Soto hit a big three-run bomb to win you a baseball game. It could be on the road. It could be a walk-off home run at home. It doesn't, he needs that big moment. They're down. It's late. He comes through with the big home run. That's what they're in desperate need of. Lindor could do it too, because we know how he sparked the team last year. But that's what they're in need of. It's got to be, I almost feel like it has to be Soto, though. Like, they're in desperate need of Soto being clutch Soto. You can't just hope you sneak in and then expect to get it in October. Like, it's just, you can't do that. 2 in Paramus. What's up, Tony?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Hey, good morning. Good morning,
good
sir.
Morning, good morning, sir. How are you?
My question is a three-parter, and then I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
At the start of the season, baseball season, who was considered the better coach between the Mets and the Yankees? Who's the biggest disappointment, and who has the better team? Thank you. Bye.
All right. Look at that. Thank you. Goodbye. At the start, I don't care what anybody says. All right. Perception? I'm sure perception is that Mendoza was the better manager. They were 11 games under 500. He rallied them back. They went to the NLCS and lost. They even won one more game against the Dodgers than the Yankees did. Aaron Boone has been here for a bunch of years. Aaron Boone has won multiple divisions. Aaron Boone went to the World Series last year. I don't know how you can make the argument that going into the season, Aaron Boone wasn't the better manager. Not to say that it can't change quickly, but that's my opinion on it. Aaron Boone was and still is the better manager because he's been doing it for longer and he's had more success. Now, what was part two? I remember third being the best team. What was part two? Who's the bigger disappointment? Was that it? I think the better team, right? Who was going in had the better team? I think the Mets had the better team. I think that was the Mets had Juan Soto. The Mets had an offense that was like sixth in the league last year. Plus, they were adding Juan Soto. They had the best closer in the sport. Although the Yankees did add what we thought was going to be a good one in Devin Williams. I still think most people felt the Mets were the better team with Juan Soto. And now who's been the bigger disappointment? I would think the Mets. I think the Mets are the bigger disappointment. And I would tell you, and it's been a theme of the show, what would if ultimately both teams don't make the playoffs, which one's a bigger disappointment and which one's more embarrassing? I think it's the Mets, as crazy as that sounds. And you might think that's a Yankee shield deflection. Maybe it is. I'm not above the idea that I'm subconsciously doing it. But I honestly believe that the Mets, and especially the way the fans spiked the football after getting Juan Soto, it changed New York. Do you remember? You don't remember the narrative? It changed New York City baseball. Juan Soto chose the Mets because he chose the owner, and he chose Stearns over Cashman, and he chose the future of the organization, and he chose for greener pastures. The Mets are the better team. The Mets are the better franchise. The Mets have the richer owner who's going to continue to spend money. He went where the winning is more likely, the New York Mets. And every fan believed it with every fiber of their being. And if they turn around and blow what was a 5-game lead in the division to ultimately get knocked out of the playoffs by Terry Francona and the Cincinnati Reds, I would tell you that is even more disappointing than a team in the New York Yankees who went in not the favorite in the division, as everybody thought the Orioles were still the best team in the division. A team that was pivoting off of losing Juan Soto. A team that lost Gerrit Cole. A team that didn't have Stanton for the whole year, or for half the year, rather. Didn't have Luis Gil. Like, I would tell you, as ugly as it would be for the New York Yankees, and it would be ugly and embarrassing, I still think the Mets would take the cake on that. And because also, I think the Yankee fans, some Yankee fans are stupid enough to think it would be a positive. No Met fan hates David Stearns. No Met fan, you know, is looking for wholesale changes inside the organization. No Met fan goes back 15 years talking about all the failures of the organization. Every single Yankee fan would view it as an opportunity to fire Boone and Cashman and think it's a positive. Or at least a lot of Yankee fans. So I honestly think it would be worse for the Mets not to make the playoffs than the Yankees, as crazy as that sounds, although it's horrible for both. And then if your question is who's the better team right now, I honestly think it's the Yankees, mainly because the Mets rotation is in free fall. Now, if in 2 weeks they call up both McLean, obviously they are on tomorrow, and they call up Sprout, and they both pitch really well and stabilize the rotation, and Peterson goes eight the next time, then maybe I'll have a different opinion. But right now, it feels like the one unit from both teams that is just non-functioning is the starting pitching for the New York Mets. The offense has been better for the Yankees, and the Mets have the worst unit, which is their starting pitching, and their bullpen acquisitions have failed them just as much as the Yankees have. So as crazy as it sounds, as ugly as it's been for the Yankees, I'd have to say right now, if I'm being honest and fair, I think the Yankees are just a little bit more stable than the Mets, subject to change on a daily basis. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back rapid fire style and finish our 5-hour midnight ride as we take you to the warm-up show at 5 right here on The Fan. Jeff in Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
Chris, have a great and safe vacation, first of all.
Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate that. Hopefully I will.
You will. Okay. Well, I know you're not going to agree with me, but that's how we are, me and you.
That's okay.
Okay. You said that the Mets won't fire Mendoza during the season. You're probably right, but remember, the Phillies fired Girardi. Didn't they go to the World Series?
Yeah, they did it in like June, though. I just think it's late to do it now. And who are they going to go to?
I'm going Wally Backman. I don't care. I want him here. I know. I love Wally Backman. I want him here immediately.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes. But, how could you go wrong? Woo! I couldn't go on summer vacation without a Wally Backman call. Thank goodness. That's right. Fire him. Bring in Wally Backman. Let's do it. He'll go in there and mix things up. Oh, my God. Yes! Wally Backman, baby. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're not going to fire him. They're not going to fire him midseason. Bring in Wally Backman. I love it. Jimmy in Warren County. What's up, Jimmy?
What's up, C-Mac? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. Two names in the Giants secondary that get me fired up.
Yes.
Tyler Newbin.
Tyler Newbin.
Andrew Phillips.
Yep, I agree.
C-Mac, if you look back at that 2024 draft,
it's a good draft.
If those guys take the next step, change it in this.
No,
and I think you bring in Javon Holland right there.
Yeah.
Tyler Newbin can flourish. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to call you back. I think Tyler Newbin leads this team in picks this year, 5-6. I'm going out on a limb with that.
Okay,
he's a ball hawk, man.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be able to flourish.
He was. Yeah, him and Phillips were very good. Drew Phillips was like Pro Football Focus's top rookie defensive back. Like
he's a dog too. He's coming up and hitting running backs. That Drew Phillips, he's a dog.
No, listen, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I am like super optimistic about this Giants season. I am. I really am. I don't disagree with you. I think the additions of Adebo and Holland along with Newbin and Phillips now, you know, Banks as the second corner, you know, he's really been tough, and Flott eh. The linebacking core, okay. We'll see. The run game in the defensive front outside of Dexter Lawrence concerns me a little bit, making sure they can stop the run. But if they can get into third down, like, that pass rush should be ferocious. If they can get after the quarterback and, you're right, you know, cause rush throws, I think they can get some picks in the defensive backfield. I think you could see turnovers and sacks. Like, I have a feeling this defense can be something. I really do. And offensively, I like the weapons. If they can block, I like the weapons. I think with a quarterback and a better, you know, game plan here, I wouldn't be surprised if Wandale Robinson really jumps off the page this year. I think he could be a shifty running back, wide receiver, a slot wide receiver that can do a hell of a lot more than he's done so far. Obviously, Neighbors and his health is paramount, as well as Andrew Thomas. I mean, clearly the most important player. And we've compared the Mets and Yankees so much today. Let's just sort of end it. I'm going to take Richie and Queens real quick. But, like, the one thing that the Giants and Jets have in common that's so rare is that I don't think either team the most important player is the quarterback. And that is very rare. Real quick, Richie and Queens. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, I'm a little excited about them, too. Hey, listen, the Yankees got a better shot of bringing back Martin before the Mets bring back Wally Backman.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Wally Backman.
Everyone loves Wally.
Yeah, I hadn't heard his name in a while.
No, but I know, and I'm sorry, Richie, and thank you for the call. I don't think they're firing anyone. That's it for me. Thanks to Big Zoo on the other side. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching on the WFAN YouTube page. We'll be doing that moving forward every night. For me, it's going to be a while, though, as I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for our usual Saturdays. But here in the overnight, it's going to be a while. I'm going to go to Italy and reconnect with my roots. Now, I'm going to have some fun with the family. So I'll catch you guys in a couple weeks. Everybody have a great, safe rest of your August, practically. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.